Unlocked, a podcast for your music business by Creating Vision. MBOL Show.
All right, Patrick, take us in. Where did it start for you?
I come from a super musical family.
Yeah.
Irish mother, Greek father, both musicians.
Musical countries, by the way.
Very. Yeah. We were like the Von Trapps, man. Two sisters, always playing instruments, singing. So I'd always been brought up around music, gravitated to the drums. Loved the drums, got my first drum kit when I was 10, self-taught, didn't want to do anything else. Probably from the age of about 14, I was going up to London auditioning. Do you remember the magazine, The Stage? I was looking at The Stage magazine and going up, and you know, I'd have my dad take me up sometimes and audition for, you know, I was auditioning for Lamar and like Mystique, all those bands, man. So yeah, I got into the live music scene before producing and songwriting. I was a drummer, I was a session drummer. I ended up playing drums for Big Brothers and Coolio. And Coolio was probably my longest gig, toured with Coolio. And all I knew was drumming, man. You know, I'd always played keys as well. I never really thought about songwriting or producing. Just the live thing for me was everything. Long story short, I had an accident, ripped my tendons in my hand. Couldn't play drums anymore.
So when did that happen?
That happened, I was about 20, must have been about 22, 23. And then ripped all my tendons in my right hand. Didn't know what to do, you know. My family were in Wales. I wasn't talking to my family at the time. You know, I was young. I thought I knew everything. It was a tough time. You know, I didn't know what to do. I spent all my money, From being on tour one minute and earning a shed load of money to then sort of having nothing. And I found myself homeless for a little bit, you know, hand in a cast, going around London, like stealing food, like just hustling, trying to stay like,
Hold on. Where'd you steal from? Just tell us.
M&S and Pret.
And you got away with it. You got away with the food.
I got away with it until I slipped up and M&S caught me one time, man. What? After like, yeah, they caught me.
Okay.
So I had, you know, my dad had a restaurant at the time, you know, come home, take over the restaurant, blah, blah, blah. And I didn't want to, man. I was in London. I thought, you know what? I need to do something in music and I don't know what that is. So walking around London, stumble into the Apple store on Regent Street, go upstairs, back of the store, Logic setup, keyboards, screen. I'm like, yo, what is this? So I start teaching myself Logic in the Apple store, you know, which I used as an office. And from there, I thought, right, what is songwriting? What is producing? You know, started like messing around with Logic, making tracks, and then figuring out who was who in music. So I'd research online, you know, what's an A&R? What is a record label? How do I get to these people? What is a publisher? Well, a publisher can make me money and give me money. Oh my God, well, this is my ticket out of here, you know? So it literally became my space. I was in the Apple store every day, all day, 7 days a week.
Yeah.
Learning, building, making tracks, getting in touch with publishers, sending me briefs. I'd make the track in the store. Email it.
So were you working in the store?
I was
just hustling.
I was hustling, man. You know, what's that movie with Tom Hanks where he's stuck in the airport and he uses the airport? I was me in the Apple store. It was a tough time, man. But from there, you know, I got to kind of craft and know how to make beats, so to speak. I didn't know about songs and how to write a song and what a song was. And God, just remembering like the absolute shit, excuse my language, I used to send to publishers and just like jazz fusion tracks and all of this stuff. And, you know, everyone always listen and be like, yeah, no, it's okay, thanks.
Listen, man, I love this. So let's get it straight. You're making songs in the Apple store. Didn't they try and move you along sometime?
Yeah, they did. But then I was there just minding my own business. So I got to know the store manager, the security guards.
Brilliant.
It got to a point where I was getting into Logic, and, you know, a couple of the guys would be like, oh, if anyone wants to come and have a look, just show them what to do.
Love it. So now Apple are using you as some kind of, you know, as you're like part of the store. They're like, no,
I was. Yeah, never threw me out. I just went in there, mind my own business. Eventually, you know, a lot of publishers did get back to me, Sony, ATV, Warner, etc. And then it was Notting Hill Music that they were the first ones to be like, there's something in this.
Another good indie. I'm not being biased here. Listen, there are plenty. I like Universal Public, for instance. There are plenty of major publishers that I like, but I'm telling you right now, Notting Hill, they got their same ethic. Like phrase differently.
100%. Yeah.
They're like in the trenches.
It's a personal thing, you know, it's a relationship. It's more than just a number in a company.
There you go.
Next, they keep sending me like briefs, you know, testing me, can you do this? Are you good at, you know, working on the spot, blah, blah, blah. And then the thing that really, I was still working in the Apple store, working out of the Apple store. They sent me a brief over. The brief at the time was for this English artist who had won the Chinese X Factor, and they were looking for crossover pop classical songs. Yeah. So the brief was take a famous classical piece of music, switch it, and this is it. So I did it. I took Moonlight Sonata, you know.
Bring it.
Big tune. Flip the tune, turn it into a track, and then I ended up sending it to Guy Langley at Psycho because he was one of the first A&Rs that listened. I sent him the track. I was like, oh, dude, here's another track. Like, within the day, he came back and he was like, yo, Il Divo, like, woo! our biggest sort of, you know, pop classical band. We want this for them. So I'm thinking, oh my God, this is incredible.
Just before I carry on with the interview, I want to take a minute to talk about a great company called Fable. They are creative music marketing legends. They come up with the most brilliant original ideas to promote artists and releases by creating really cool stuff that actually happens everywhere. Fable was set up by a guy who is an ex-recording artist and music producer, someone with over 30 years' experience in the music industry, so they know what they're doing. The stuff that they do gives you exciting, cool-looking content, and you get people engaged in real-world activities. People stop and want to know what's going on. The way that I look at them is they are creative solutions for maximum artist visibility. And no, I don't have a stake in the company, but they are bloody good at what they do. So check them out, fable.co.uk. That's fable.co.uk. Anyway, on with the interview.
Patrick, tell them how many Il Divo have sold albums.
Oh, God. 10 million plus?
Easy. Easy. Yeah. Easy. So understand, if you write a song for them, you've got lunch money aplenty. Maybe you can go in, buy 2, 3, 4 computers from the Apple store.
10 years ago,
come again and actually buy another 4.
Which is exactly what happened. You know, got the cut with Il Divo, Notting Hill, first advance, put a deal on the table.
Jeez!
You know, literally happened within like 2 weeks of that happening, and went back into the Apple store, able to buy a laptop, able to buy a MIDI keyboard, headphones.
Yeah, this is what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Okay.
It was kind of happened really quickly, man. You know, the whole Sony thing, Psycho thing. I got him with Got on with the crowd, Andrew Frampton, Steve Kipner, huge guys. You know, they did all the script song. Yeah. So they started managing me. I met them at a studio. They had an imprinted Sony. And then it really happened quickly where we started working on projects. We ended up doing JLS, Ollie Mears, Universal, Pixie Lott. Just everything came at once, like within the year and a half. So I was like, oh my God, this is amazing. Music is great. You have one cut and then you have 4 or 5 other cuts, and this is what it's going to be forever.
And then it's always that way.
Yeah,
you're flying high, and then
that's what happened.
Suddenly the phone stops ringing. Suddenly some of those clubs that you're going to, where before you just used to walk in and it was no problem, people would buy, come on, you know it's the truth.
But it's me, it's Patrick Matrikios.
Exactly. You're like, the people that were on your shoulder, suddenly you're like, where are they? Dust, tumble, gone.
That's what happened.
That set of people, they're really weird. They just turn up when there is success in the air. They're everywhere. Suddenly they're your best mate, they're blah, they're hanging with you. But then you suddenly realize, I've just paid for that cab. I paid for, as soon as you start to slope, shit's gone. You're like, what? But I thought nothing. Anyway, let's keep it moving. How did you get here?
Yeah, so the, you know, Il Divo's piano for Susan Boyle I did, and all of this psycho stuff, Ollie Murs, JNS, blah, blah, blah. And then it was a real dry spell of just really figuring out who I was as a producer, you know, writing, getting into writing sessions and figuring out who I like to write with and just understanding more about songs. Because I thought, you know, like Hittin was saying, he wrote 10 terrible songs before really understanding. And I probably wrote a million terrible songs. I still do. And I think because of the success I had within a short amount of time, a short space of time, I thought, why is this happening? I need to keep getting cuts. I'm really good. But it wasn't that way. And the things that I was writing wasn't good, you know, and it wasn't the chemistry with writers. I didn't really understand how to write. So there was a spell where I was, you know, working on my own, and I thought I knew everything. Yeah. I knew how to write a song. You know, I was very arrogant and annoying. And it just got to a point where I wasn't happy anymore. I'd tasted success and I thought, oh, well, you know, why aren't I getting the call? Why doesn't so-and-so want to work with me? And it was
you're nagging a bit.
But you know what? It was a great lesson, man. And, you know, I think my approach had always been for so long, just like sending songs. I didn't listen to the song. It was good or bad. I didn't care. I just send it. You know, and people got annoyed and they put me out of, it pulled me out of touch with a lot of people because the music, I was sending average music.
Yeah.
You know?
Listen, before we even move on with this story, because I know we're running out of time, I want them to be able to ask.
Of course. Questions.
So come on. We're all already. How much do you charge for sessions?
I don't charge for sessions, man.
There you go. He doesn't charge for sessions. So what he's saying. Okay, keep it rolling with you with the story. So what was the changing point? What made the curve start to move?
You know what? I got connected. So I'm part of a production duo called Loose Change. The other half is a good friend of mine, Sonny, aka Euphonics. Mm. And we got connected probably about five or six years ago now. We just, you know, knew each other, same studio, started working together, and it was just it was the relationship I needed, man. It was somebody to humble me and somebody who I could work with, and we understood each other.
Yeah.
That's when the music started to get good again. The first big song that came out of this was Touch for Little Mix, our first proper hit. There's a couple of questions. You want me to answer those or no?
Yeah, we're going to. Does lyrical production usually come first, and which is more effective?
For me, I love being in the room with two writers always. I'm not a lyricist. I play, so I'll always sit with a lyricist and create a vibe. You know, oh, how are you feeling? I feel this sort of way. Chords, blah, blah, blah. And then the lyric and the music will sort of come together. I think definitely the lyrics, that, you know, the longer I've been in this industry, I've realized the lyrics are definitely more important because it's a story and you capture people with a lyric.
Yeah.
So if you are a songwriter, then, yeah, I think lyrics are definitely the thing that, you know, make a song from being okay to great to amazing. So yeah, lyrics definitely.
Okay. What's the best way to approach you for an online session?
Send me music. I mean, I was, you know, I've hit up everybody in the world to work with, and I still do. So just, you know, politely hit somebody up, hit me up, send me some music, and I'd love to hear.
What else have we got here? We've got lyrics, blah, blah, blah. What made you move to LA? That is from Andrea.
Been coming out here for years, probably about 7 years back and forth. Always loved it. And it was always finding a reason to come out. Finally, you know, I mean, it was a bit of a love story. I met my girlfriend out here. That was the thing. But at the same time, I do a lot of sync and, you know, sort of film and TV and ad music. And it's always something that I'd really been drawn to in LA because this is the city for that.
Stay inspired and keep a fresh flavor within your sound.
I listen to everything and I keep inspired from listening to everything. I love 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, up to now, you know. And you know what? A lot of the time, the writers inspire me as well. A writer will come in with an idea, and I know the sound is important, but for me, like, I don't worry about production in a session. I worry about getting the best song. I play piano, or we'll have a guitar and we'll write a song that way. So, yeah.
Super. Listen, Patrick, as I have to say, I want to hear the rest of the story in full. So we will, Andrea's going to be here to get you back on. Because that was just, I was like, I literally, I felt like I was riding this life roller coaster. People, you have been with Patrick, okay? He has been oh so inspiring.
Thank you so much for having me, man. Thank you.
Music Business Unlocked, a podcast for your music business by creating visions.